Let's begin. Parshas Tisabe does not have that many halachos, which you would call halacha lamaisa. As it so happens, through the genius of one of our most prominent achronim, there's actually a connection between Parshas Tisabe and the holiday of Purim, specifically the mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim. Before we start, who wants to guess? This would take my Rizik of a kiss. Yes. Oh! Did you really get that on your own?
No, I heard.
Okay. From who? Is it a relative?
Yes.
Your uncle?
Yes.
Okay, good. Same place I heard about it. Our Talmud Shlita. Okay, very good. All right, good. So let's take a look. So Parshat Tisabe obviously includes much of the Big Day Kahuna as a big element of this. And if you look right in the beginning of Perach Avches, Pasuk Dalet, we're introduced to some of the Begodim, Eila HaBegodim, Asher Yasu, Choshen, the Ephod, Me'il, Uchasonas. What is the Chasonas? It's like a robe, or they call it a tunic, which was worn by the Kohen Gadol, and also actually by the regular Kohanim. Then later in the parak, as this is reviewed at the end, Pesukim Lamed Tes through Mem. So also we're told Veshibatzach Kesones Sheish Basisa Mitznefes Sheish. Again, the materials that it's made out of. And then finally in Pesuk Mem we're told Ulivnei Aaron. Again, it's not just for the Kohen Gadol, i.e. Aaron at that time, but it'll be for future Kohanim, i.e. even the Bnei Aaron at that time. What do you do? Ta'aseh kutanos. Now again, it's referring to the kesones, but it's spelled and pronounced completely differently. Not the kesones, which is singular, kutanos, which is plural. So this actually, dress code is a big thing. Even not just in schools, but even in the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Yerushalmi quotes a machlokes, tanaim, what we can derive from this particular change of the word, kutanot, namely, the Rabbanon hold that the fact that this is now in Lashon Rabbim is referring to each and every Kohen. Namely, that each and every one of the Kohanim has to have at least two kesones is, or they must have kutanot. They must have, a backup. What happens if one gets dirty? What happens if, one gets ripped. So you always have to have two.
Because in a news from Hamashiach, you can't even wash it or mend it.
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, I look at the Yerushalmi today, I don't think they mention that as a reason, but it's a nice supporting. It's the way he darshans the pasuk, but it's a good supporting argument. However, that's the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yossi holds, no, it doesn't mean Lashon Rabbim that each and every Kohen has to have a full closet of robes hanging. It means the plural is not going on each and every Kohen, it's going on the B'nai Aharon, on all of the Kohanim, meaning if each and every one of the Kohanim have one, there will be lots of kutanot, lots of ksonis, lots of tunics. And therefore, he understands that there is no sheer of how many they have to have, like all of us, some buy more suits, some buy less. Each Kohen will decide how many they need. If they feel they need more than one, they'll get more than one, and otherwise they'll have their one. But the halacha is each one only needs to have one. If you look in the Rambam discusses the big kahuna primarily in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash Perches. So if you read through, it's Kedai anyway, it's good Chazara. You read through the whole parak, you'll see the Rambam mentions the Ksones and he mentions other things, and nowhere in the parak, this is a raya by omission, nowhere in the parak does Rambam tell us that you need to have a particular number of them. And therefore, if the Rambam's not going to tell us, certainly makes it clear that means that the Rambam presumably holds like the second opinion in the Yerushalmi, and that is that there is no minimum requirement for multiple ksonises or kutanot. Rather, it's sufficient to just have one. So ad kan the Parshas Tetzave halacha. Now, when it comes to Matanos Levyonim, we know that there are basically, we think of four mitzvos hayom on Purim. It's the end of the Megillah after everything's nice and good, and in the following year, Esther and Mordechai and the Anshei Gedola, they're mesaking that there's going to be this regular holiday and it's going to have a Suda. Umashlach manos ishlar yehu, umashlach manos, umatanos levyonim. You're supposed to give gifts to the poor. So, how many gifts to how many poor people? What's the shear of matanos levyonim? So, this is a discussion in the Gemara Megillah, in Daf Zayin Amid Aleph. And there, the Gemara Darshan, since the word matanos and the word levyonim are in the plural, Shnei Matanos, Shnei Avyonim. Now what exactly that means, you can misread that line itself. But if you look at Rashi, Rashi makes it clear what it means is in sum total, you'll have to give at least one matana to two of Yonim, which means that in sum total, at least you've given matanos, meaning plural, because you have to give at least two. Because you have to give it at least one to each, right? It's simple multiplication, one times two, will mean you have to give at least two. Again, you would have thought that perhaps matanos might already mean you think you have to give multiple gifts. So Maradash says, no, because it says, Rashi explains, it says Evyonim, so you already know you have to give, that's qualifying it. That means that it's plural on the recipients, not necessarily on the gifts. Okay. And in fact, this is how we paskin in the Rambam, in Hilchos Megillah, Perek Beis, in Shulchan Aruch, Tafresh Tzadi Dalet, Chayodam, all paskin like this. If you look, it's just, no, just for your own edification, if you take a look, you'll see that the formulations of the Rishonim or Shulchan Aruch and Chayodam and others, they're not exactly the same. Some just quote the quotation of the Gemara, Shnei Matos or Shnei Avyonim, and again, if you just pull that in a vacuum, you could get confused, and others are a little bit clearer as to what that means. Like the Shulchan Aruch is not as clear, but others are a little bit clearer. But again, no one's arguing, everyone agrees with the basic facts. So now we're ready for the connection to Parshas Tetzaveh. Comes along the great and genius Turei Evin. Turei Evin is on a number, only a few Mesechlas. One of the Mesechlas is Mesechlas Megillah. So if you look at the Turei Evin on Daf Zayin, you won't find this. But if you look in the back of the Turei Evin on Mesechlas Megillah, he has like some addendums, some like Kudrus Achrons. In fact, this one, he actually gives a name to it. The Turei Evin refers to it as the Avnei Shoha. And there, it's only on a few Dapim. He's only adding footnotes to a few Dapim. But one of them is, he has a lengthy essay there, lengthy meaning it's like half a column, on Daf Zayin. And on that, he starts off by quoting our Yerushalmi. He says that the whole, this is a meta machlokes, not just limited to kutanos. What does that mean? It's how you read Tanakh. The machlokes tanoim there, whether kutanos is on each kohen, or is it on the whole shevet kahuna, is similar to how do you understand matanos. Is matanos for each and every evyon, each and every ani, or is it on this sum total of who you'll give? And therefore, says the Turei Evin, the fact that we paskin, or the Gemara is proposing, that you only have to give one to each of the two evyonim, that shows that we're holding like Rabbi Yossi when it comes to the kesones. Because Lu Yisuyir, says the Turei Evin, would we have paskin like the Chachamim when it came to the kesones? We would have required minimum two gifts to each evyon. So he makes the Turei Evin this Hav HaTalia. If you take a look, even if you don't own a Turei Evin, if you own a classical Shulchan Aruch, if you look in the back, most Shulchan Aruchs include, not only on the page, some Nosei Kalim, but they have some Nosei Kalim in the back. And some will also, not all, but some versions will have the Pri Chodosh. If you look at the Pri Chodosh on Siman Tafresh Tzadi Daled, he also quotes a similar type of Raya, or an analysis, and there he also mentions specifically the Gemara in the Bavli Yuma, Daf Lamed Zayin, which discusses in a different context the Goralos of the Seir. So if Purim would come out near Parshas Achrimos, I could have tushelled that based on the Pri Chodesh. But he mentions also the idea of Goralos, how many Gorals there have to be for each Seir. So the answer is, of course, it's only one for each. It's just there's going to be two Goralos because there's two Seirim. And again, Pri Chodesh makes all of these, it's like a global idea of how do you read these type of plural words in the Torah. Just as a, one more little haggadah.
How do you give two matanos to each
other? So it could be like Matzah Shekel, where we define what the matveya is, or we'll get to if there's a minimum shear, we haven't gotten that yet. But Naniach, we'll say there's a minimum shear, maybe you have to give Davka two units of that. Or maybe we'll say whatever the minimum share is. Let's for argument that the minimum share is a dollar. So either will require you to give the person two individual dollars, or we would just have to say that the value would have to be over that. I don't know. But the point is we're rejecting that. But it would have to be something like that. In light of this idea, it's interesting, even though we seemed, again, because of this a little bit somewhat ambiguity in the Gemara, it's interesting, the Shari Tshuva, Shulchan Aruch quotes the Tshuva's Halakas Katanos, who actually suggests perhaps, again a little bit al derech segue from what I just said to you, Sam, let's say whatever it is that you would have given to two people, let's say you actually just gave it to one. Let's just make things very easy. You give $10 to a poor person. So Halakhutana suggests perhaps that you'd be Yosei. You don't have to give to a second person, the second Evyon. But this is a tremendous Das Yachid, and the Shari Tshuva immediately, I think, rejects that. But it's worth knowing. Here's another interesting nuance to how many people you're going to give. Most cases, I guess you could imagine some cases it wouldn't be. Most cases, If the man of the house is struggling, presumably his wife is also struggling. You're not going to have too many, at least not healthy marriages, in which one is doing well and the other isn't. There are some marriages where they're separate accounts, but that's not so healthy. But let's assume that they're both aniyim. So the poskim discuss, for example, the Kaf HaChaim, the great Sfarni posek, plus the Tshuvas Binyan Olam. Tshuvas Binyan Olam is not a well-known sefer. It's actually written by Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chover. I only know who he is, and I know the sefer, because he is the source of a tremendous heter, which many of you have, or maybe even still rely on, when it comes to going away for the entire Pesach. If you go away for the entire Pesach, you have to do a full bodika. Or is it sufficient to just close up the door, give the key to the rabbi, and make a mechira? So the originator of that heter, in subsequent discussion, is this Tshuvas Binyan Olam. I remember looking it up, and I remember, first of all, just saying thank you to him. I'm not sure I had a moment of hodah to him in the YU library when I looked this up. Plus, I also realized when I looked at the sharp lot of the tshuva, that he was from Suvalk. I don't exactly know how many generations it goes back, but Suvalk is more well-known in our generation as the town where Dov Lifshitz Tzatzal had been the rabbi before the war. Anyway, that's just for your information. So the Binyan Olam and the Kaf HaChaim both have the following tremendous kula. If you give, again, let's call it $10, let's call it $100, you give your Matanos Avyonim to a fellow, you give it, you say, you know, I know it's been a rough year, I know you have some needs, here, take this. And you have in mind that you're not just giving it to help him, you're also giving it to help his wife. So they suggest that counts as two people, because they're both Avyonim. The husband's an Avyon and the wife is an Avyon. And as long as you have in mind that you meant it for both of them, that should count. Now, I find that very schwer, personally, and in fact, the Aruch HaShulchan rejects this. The Aruch HaShulchan, yeah, without quoting them per se, but the Aruch HaShulchan says that we look at a family as a family, and we don't differentiate. But that's an interesting, possible heather for those who would need it. No, no, it doesn't matter at that point. It doesn't matter. According to them, if you only had limited money, and you only wanted to give to one person, not the two, even though Matanos Avyonim really requires getting to give two. So we, for our convenience, most of us, and I'm not saying anything that I don't do myself. I don't walk around. My minug, again, many people have this, and in my position, I have maybe reasons to. Many people come to my house. So most Mishloach Manos I give when people come to my house. But since I don't want to give, and because I know there are X number of people in the community who really, aside from the food, could really use the pick-me-up of me coming to their house, so I go with my kids to Mamish, the most needed. I don't go to all the people who actually come to me. I definitely go to people who I know are not going to come to me. Then homebound type people, I go to them. But the point is, I don't do that because I don't. Maybe I should. I don't. What I do is I give the check the same place you do for me, Rob. I give it to Marvin. And maybe give it to some Eretz Yisrael stuff. I give. The point is, especially if you're giving a decent amount, you know that that's going to be divided up. You can rely on that. Now, who else is obligated? Yeah.
Will everyone agree that if you give the wife,
you mean would the Binyan Olam agree?
Right.
Why?
Like,
I don't know. This is not a bad, I don't know. I'm not sure. Good question. I don't know. I wouldn't rely on it anyway. So that's my
question. What count for sure is two, it only counts as one.
That's what he's suggesting. He's saying even they who count, if the husband should count as two, would you, maybe they'd agree in reverse. I don't know. So speaking about women, are women obligated to give? We talk about women on the recipients. Now let's think of Baruch Hashem, a wealthy family. They're not receiving, they're giving. So is the woman obligated or just the husband? So this is a discussion, and it's explicit for our Ma Paskins, the Farish, that like all other mitzvahs hayom, the Isha is chayevus in this. Why is it a mitzvah on Groma? So even though that's not explicitly mentioned in the Gemara, the Shari Tshuva and others point out, just like the Gemara talks about from Mikra Megillah, the women are obligated. Why? Because of Ave Vaibos Anes, so too these mitzvos as well. So here we come to a very famous Magen Avram. The Magen Avram there in Sifkat and Yud Dalid says that typically married women do not give their own Matanos Avyonim, and it's okay because they can rely on their husbands, assuming that their husbands are giving enough that it counts to come from two people. In other words, it's not shot in Beis Ozuishto that they only have to give one. They have to give two, but you can assume, again, in a unified bank account marriage, that he's giving, so to speak, as her shliach. Okay, we haven't yet gotten to what the minimum amount of people. Let's say we'll call it $1 per person. So as long as he gave $4, it would be sufficient to go through her. Although the Magen Avram, and again, does add, although I think most people don't get to the end of this, that it's better if she would give herself. I think most families, and again, I include my own, don't. But the Magen Avraham does say, even though he's the originator of this idea, he himself does say it would be better if she gave herself. But my impression, please, anyone whose wife Dafka gives on their own, please let me know, just be curious. I think most of us rely on just one member of the household giving. And again, the basis of that does come from Magen Avraham. Right. Well, again, if I would be discussing, yeah. Again, there's also discussion, of course, of women again being obligated for shlach manos, perhaps giving to other women. There's similar discussions, but again, most of us rely on family mashlach manos and family masanos lavyonim. One thing important: we have some over bar mitzvah children, young men, I should say, in the shir. So the Aruch HaShulchan is explicit that this only applies for a wife, but children are not potter because their father gave, not matzahs lavyonim or mashlach manos. That's, they have their own independent chiyuvim. Okay. Now, a few other assorted halachos. The Magen Avraham says, when do you have to give matzahs lavyonim? Is there a time factor here? So the Magen Avraham says, you should not give before Purim. Why? He gives a technical answer. Because, really, they have to have the hanah from the money on Purim, and perhaps if you give it to them beforehand, they're going to spend it. Nothing wrong with that, except for the fact that you won't have gotten the mitzvah because you didn't give it to them in a way that they benefited on Purim. However, it is clear from the Magen Avraham, at least it's mashma from the Magen Avraham, if you sent it, meaning it left your rishus before Purim, but it did not get to their rishus until Purim, the mashma of the Magen Avraham is that you would be yotze. In fact, other subsequent posts can say this explicitly, like the Kaf HaChaim, it's okay to give send it beforehand as long as it's dafka getting to the ani on Purim. The Magen Avraham, subsequently, the first Magen Avraham I mentioned to you is in Tavrish Tzadi Dalet. In the next Siman, the Magen Avraham again reiterates that it's not just enough that it gets to the person on Purim, but more specifically, dafka on the day of Purim as opposed to the night, like the other mitzvah sayom. The Ber Heitev has a suffix which we'll get to, perhaps from a more lomdish perspective shortly, but the Ber Heitev also has this suffix, what if you send it, he asks both shalas, if you send it before Purim and it arrives on Purim, and what if you sent it, meaning you gave it, it left your rishus on Purim and then gets it after Purim? And the common denominator of both shalas is, who do we go by? Basar the giver or Basar the receiver? Recipient, I guess would be a better way of saying it. And this is a similar shalas which is asked with much literature, more well-known literature when it comes to Rishlach Manos. There's discussions of the Chasam Sofer and the Ksav Sofer, but it's a similar shaila that you could ask by Matzahs Avyonim. In more modern times, again, very much nogea to many of us who give through organizations, through Eretz Yisrael or other things like that, the Shara Mitzvah HaHalacha quotes those who dafka specifically the modern invention of mail. When all of a sudden there was transcontinental mail, people ask such a shaila, if you sent the Matzahs Avyonim in the mail, and that could have been especially Bashaita weeks ahead of Purim. But again, if you could be assured that the Ani would get the money on Purim, They also point out that you would be yotze. And again, here the issue is the discussion, which seems to be universally agreed upon when it comes to Matanas Avyonim, that is all okay, because Matanas Avyonim seems to be really a din in the makabel. It's a shaila more about Mashloach Manos, and again, it's a similar question: is it really a din in the makabel? And perhaps a chiddush according to some in Mashloach Manos that's really not a din in the makabel, but it's really a din in the nosay. What that means, so we'll have to save that for a future Rishlach Manos year. Yeah.
Is it because of Purim? In other words, what if you give it tonight? You tell him, I'm giving you this Matanas Lavyonim, even though he doesn't get it on Purim.
You're saying if he gets it after Purim or before?
Before or after. In other words, if it's not a din.
See, it sounds like, according to the Magen Avraham, that would not be good.
Even though he...
Yes, it sounds like... Again, unless you assume, the only way you could have said that it would work, although it wouldn't work for both, because they're mutually exclusive assumptions. If you assume it's a din in the nosing, so then you could perhaps have said a wild chiddush, that as long as I put it in the mail on Purim, even though it doesn't come to him until after Purim, maybe you could have said I'd be yotze. But if you would say that, then that logically would be mutually exclusive of saying that if I gave it before Purim, but then he got it on Purim. Because if you're saying it's a din in the nosing, then what did I do 3 weeks before Purim? They're likely mutually exclusive options.
Even
you understand that?
Even if you say the Tanai, in other words,
I don't think the Tanai makes a difference.
The purpose of this is...
I don't think that... Again, the only way you...
What about a check that's seen for Purim Day?
So that might be. That might be. And a Chari, that might be. That might
not open until 4.
Yeah, no, that might not. 100%. No, that's what they say. Again, the Magen Avraham, when it comes to Matan Tavyonim, the Magen Avraham at least, and the other poskim have a more, if you will, principled objection. But the Magen Avraham, it's a one-line Magen Avraham in the beginning of Sefer Sadal, and he is very practical. The Shamu and the Saku Hamos, maybe they'll use the money already. If they didn't use the money in Echanami. It sounds like the Magen Avraham in Echanami and Beyonce. The point is that the Din and the Makabel, he's supposed to have the opportunity to benefit from that money on Purim. What if he doesn't spend the money? Okay. And what if he spends the money on the horses? That's also his decision. Again, it's explicit in the Ramah that he gets Ani, even though you have intent when he'll use the money for the Suda or whatever, Ani is allowed to use the money for whatever he wants, responsibly or otherwise. You're supposed to give it to him in a way that he can benefit on Purim.
It has to be the wall. It has to be the 15.
You're already getting too fancy.
How poor do you have to be part of
it? So go. Part of giving or should be shy to receive?
No, but...
Well, I want to get to that. I'm not going to give you a specific number, even though there's a discussion in the other direction.
No,
I thought that's what you were asking.
Because you said that a Ben who's living in the...
Oh, I see. Some of
the
Shacharov.
Ben and Isha would be Chayim. But if Shiro doesn't have our own funds...
Right, okay.
Because
of us being an Ani. Right, so we'll see. That is a discussion. So if I close the post, I'm going to go with an Ani. Not, again, not defining what is an Ani or not, but we say if someone's categorized as an Ani, are they Chayim still in the Chosavianim or not? We'll see that. But I thought you were asking, which is a discussion which I'm not going to get into, is are some posts from a Dayak in the term Evyon? And Evyon, apparently, I forget the etymology or the grammar of it, but apparently Evyon, as I remember correctly, is considered worse than a stam ani, and therefore some have a chumrah that you can't just give to a guy who's struggling. You got to give mamish to somebody who's on welfare or something.
Okay. So hard to join give it to your wife. Keep the same bank account.
The truth is if you were yotzi somewhere else, so the worst thing that's going to happen is it's going to turn into tzedakah.
100%. Yeah, listen, you're not doing a bad thing.
So I'm saying, is there any value in giving multiple units of Matanos Lavionim once you were Yotzi?
Some post, yes. First of all, giving more Kalamarba Harida Meshubach. Mamish just saw it today, but I forgot to put it on the sheet. There are poskim who, Mamish, I remember, it's Al Derech, the famous Rambam in Perashat Mishnayos, who say, better to give many people small amounts of money, because that way you're helping more people, you're going to get more schusim. Well, that's the Rambam. I'm not sure what you're trying to say, but it's still a good segue.
Okay.
It's a good segue because I wanted to say as follows. What I really wanted to use is a segue, but Ellie harping on the Tzedakah point. No, it's correct. It's helpful. One second. But really, because of the questions we were discussing before about who is it a din in, the no sane or the makabel, this gets to what I want to spend really the rest of the shir on, which is a number of more other halachos, but specifically revolving around the following axis. Namely, until now we've just had a nice little review of some of the basic halachos on Matan Tavyonim. We've connected it imaginatively and creatively to the parsha. But now I want to discuss a number of other groups of halachos, which I think some more mukhach than others, in addition to their value per se, also have a common thread. And that is this question, which I guess is getting to the lamdasha heart of Matanos Avyonim, what is the nature of that mitzvah? So we can ask that question in one of two ways. Number one, which is the way we've already asked it, and this is the subject of the Berhetev explicitly and the related, which is, who is the Matanos Avyonim a dinin? Is it a dinin the no-sane? What's the kiyum that I gave? Or is it a dinin the makabel that he received? Now we just stop there. That may be a good question, or it may be a lot of smoke and mirrors and meaningless hakira talk. So let's put some more teeth to that. Let's make that a more meaningful question. And this is where Ellie's point comes in. This is what I wanted to get to. Namely, to what extent do we view Matanos Avyonim as really the Purim focus or the Purim variation of what otherwise is the mitzvah 365 days a year called tzedakah? There's one understanding of Matanos Avyonim is that we have tzedakah, which we have to give in all sorts of other contexts all year round. And in theory, it would be nice to give tzedakah on Hanukkah and other holidays to help people. Wonderful, but that's called mitzvah of tzedakah. But the Chachamim, when they were establishing the holiday of Purim, for whatever reason, Davka decided, as opposed to on other holidays, that part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah is, of the holiday is, you will give tzedakah on that day. And we're going to call that fulfillment of tzedakah a little subcategory called Matanos Avyonim. But it's a din of tzedakah. And if we'll assume that, and this is, I wouldn't say entirely muskum, but certainly the pashtus would be, if you want to say that this is a din in tzedakah, you could we could equate that with saying Sedin in the Makabel, meaning the focus of tzedakah is on the recipient. We want to benefit the recipient. One quick raya for that is the famous Tshuvas HaRashba in Simon Yud Ches, who asks, why don't we make a Berachas HaMitzvah on the mitzvah of tzedakah? His answer is because maybe you'll offer the money, and your mamash is shuckling Harim Minchum Zum, and you make a big bracha, and then you take it out, and then he won't accept it. There are other answers to the question, and it's not clear those who give other answers is because they argue on the whole lumbus or not. I don't know. That's a shear for tzedakah. But the Rashba is clear, it's a din in the Makabal, and therefore if he wouldn't accept, you wouldn't be Yotzei. And again, it's also common sense. If I pulled the person off the street and I asked them the question, what's the purpose of tzedakah, they would say so that the guy has some money in his pocket to help him. So that's one approach, that's what tzedakah is, and that's that Matan Zavionim is the Purim version of tzedakah. So you'll ask, well, what else is it? Of course that's what it is. So even though I'm going to be trying to prove that, just so you should know, the other option to see it as a contrast is the possibility, as some want to suggest, this real fulfillment of your mitzvah of Simchas Purim. Just like the Rambam says by Hilchos Yontif, that part of your fulfillment of Simchas Yontif is that you have to be Matsameach Levaniyim, you have to share in your good fortune. It could be that that's, again, it's an idea we have in other holidays, but it could be the Matan Yonim is specifically focused on an expression, not of tzedakah, but it's really by giving charity, but I'm specifically using the English word, because I don't mean it's a halakhic tzedakah. The kiyum is not tzedakah. The kiyum is in me. It's a fulfillment in my Simchas Yontif.
Would you guys have fulfillment mentioned
for Simcha? Mishto Simcha, yeah, of course, that's where it's all comes. That's where the Mitzvah Simchas Purim comes from, that's where the Suda comes from.
Maybe a riot to that is the fact that when the Shefiyona was made on Purim Day, it was supposed to have in mind for the three...
Good, that's on the Marva Kamas. We'll see. Oh, but you'll...
I'm saying, because...
Hold that. Trust me.
Even though the person could reject it...
Good. Just hold it. You're very good, but you'll get... We'll see that very shortly. So let's see a few more halakhos of Matan Zavionim with that question now in the back of our mind. So the Aruch HaShulchan has another interesting discussion. The Aruch HaShulchan says Nebuch, and this, every now and then this does happen, and it really is a Nebuch. What if a father is away on business, a business trip? He can't be home for Purim. It's mamish. Other Yom Tovim, it's almost unheard of because you get yourself home. And if someone was away for Hanukkah, it's a little sad. It's also sad to be away for Hanukkah on a business trip, but to be away for Purim is mamish Nebuch. It's not, well, you can sit in your hotel room and have a suit by yourself. I mean, it's really sad. So leave that aside for a moment. But halachically, what do you do? So you say, okay, I'll give myself a where I am. But let's say you're like someone who's hopefully going to be back in time for Shabbos, but a member of our shul called me with all sorts of other shilas because he's in the middle of nowhere in North Carolina on a business trip now. So you don't have anyone to give to. So what do you do?
There's not a doctor, but someone else.
So the Aruch HaShulchan discusses this. And the Aruch HaShulchan asks the question, perhaps you can be Yotzei through what your family does. Wife will give, your children will give. Is that sufficient or not? So the Aruch HaShulchan actually has the following split. Aruch HaShulchan says that he does not think you're Yotzei Mishloach Monos, but he says Efshar the Matanos of Yonim Yotza. Again, why not Mishloach Monos? So again, that. Yeah, no, it's a good question, but I'm not going to answer you because it's a Mishloach. So the Binyan Sion says you should Davka by Shliach. But okay, as I said, it's a good question, but that'll be in Mirz Hashem. You're not a senior, are you? No. Okay, so in Mirz Hashem next year, we'll have a Mishloach Monashir. You remind me, okay? Blee Netter. We'll have a Mishloach Monashir. In this context, we're on a Shabbos, but it's a good question. It's two Mishloach Monashir. But my point is to specifically mention the Psak and the fact that he says he can contrast Mishloach Monos and the fact that you could be Yotzei with Matzot Lavyonim. So one of the great svarim, which many of you are familiar with, in general for a holiday Talmud Torah, is the Mikra Kodesh. Beautiful svarim, which is so easy to read, by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, one of the great, great gedolim of the earlier 20th century. So in the standard Mikra Kodesh, there's also footnotes on the bottom, Ha'aros, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, they're written by his son, called Harrei Kodesh. So if you look in, there's one, it's a multi-volume set on all the Yom Tovim. So if you look on the volume on Hanukkah and Purim, so there he has a discussion of Matan Tov Yonim and Siman Lamed Tes. And if you look, and there's two footnotes in a row, Harei Kodesh, Aleph, and Beis, where he discusses this lomdisha point of Matan Tov Yonim. And he mentions this Aruch HaShulchan, and he says, well, listen, I'll derech your point. He says, well, maybe this has to do with the relatives work as a shliach or not. And then he says, and this is my point, well, anyway, not only would you be Yotzei Matan Tov Yonim through your family giving for you. On the contrary, maybe it's better, Because after all, Sinfa Tanas Al Yonim is a form of tzedakah. We know the famous Rambam that the more anonymous the giving of tzedakah is, the better it is. So if you would have been home, you would have gone over and knocked on somebody's door and said, here, please take this gift. But if you're in Greensville, North Carolina, and your wife gives to somebody, so it's totally be'ilum shem, it's totally anonymous. So on the contrary, says the Harei Kodesh, perhaps it's even better. Moreover, then in the next Ha'ara, he has the following discussion. This is, again, this is a famous Ksav Sofer discussion. Could you be Yotze Mishloach Manos anonymously? Again, why not for Mishloach Manos? We'll have to save for my pleaders here next year. But there is the famous Shaila about Mishloach Manos, the Ilum Shem. Could it be done anonymously? You leave it at the guy's door post with no card. Secret admirer. Is there anything wrong with that? That's a discussion.
You're not creating goodwill.
Okay, so Alan already knows this year. You don't have to come next year. Okay. Good. You're all very good. The point is, says the Harei Kodesh, whatever you'll say about Mishloach Manos, but for sure, for Matanas Av Yonim, it'll be good. Because I don't know, but Ilum Shem, again, he repeats this a second time, because Mishloach Manos is a tzedakah. It's Kain tzedakah. So just like tzedakah should be anonymous, so too, if you're in Greensville, North Carolina, or you give it anonymously when you're in Baltimore, either way, it's a better, wonderful thing.
So, say that the reason for the tzedakah is to give him for the seuda. In other words, maybe that. And maybe
so we'll get.
Maybe that's why it has to be on Purim. So it's
good. We may, and that'll get to what you have to give them. Are you allowed to give them things that are completely unrelated? In other words, could you give a person clothes? Could you give a person a safer? Is that what's also on him? So we're going to get to that. That goes to the heart of your question. Excellent.
Isn't tzedakah da nachsarah?
What does that mean?
That you have to word.
That is, there's no individual who has the responsibility of propping up an ani entirely. I mean, if you could afford it, or you do it, it's fine. But whatever, when we talk about an obligation to give the ani what he needs, etc., that's not an individual. That's not an obligation on any individual member. It's not an obligation on the community. And at what point do you say no one has to give him anymore because he already has enough? So there, you might say, well, it depends on what his needs are, what he was used to, etc. But that's not a chiyuv on me. I don't have to go bankrupt because the guy who I'm giving tzedakah for used to be a millionaire. Right? You understand the difference? Okay. So now, second point, which I think relates to this issue of tzedakah or not, and it's a point that was alluded to, I think, with Sam and others before, which is, what is the shir? How much do you have to give from a Matan Sal Yonim? We know when it comes to Shalach Manos, we speak about different foods, different brachos. What is the value? Is there any value? Is there a minimum or not? So, the Mishnah Berurah discusses this. Quotes from a Prima Gadim who asks the question, is there a minimum value or not? So the main Rishon that they quote on this discussion is a Ritva. There's a Ritva a little later down in Megillah Dav Zayin. There is a very famous story where one very fancy Chacham gave to a second one some type of a meat and a wine, but it was a cheap meat and it was a cheap wine. And they weren't sure, but he's giving it to an ani, so perhaps he's the Yotzei Mishloach Manos and Matan Sal Yonim, perhaps one, perhaps the other, perhaps both, perhaps neither. So the discussion, in fact, there's different girsas in the Gemara, which is confusing. There's Yerushalmi, Rabbeinu Chanan, all the girsas. Bottom line, on that story, the Ritva has a famous chiddush when it comes to Mishloach Manos, which is that depending on the girsa of that Gemara, it could be the Mishloach Manos. The shear for that depends on how wealthy the giver is. The fancier you are in your general lifestyle, the fancier Mishloach Manos is. So if you're a wealthy guy, you just give a box of raisins and a cookie, two brachos, two manos, but according to that ritva, you might not be Yotze. That's his chiddush when it comes to Mishloach Manos. But then, he says, as opposed to Matanas Av Yonim, all you need is a matana. What's a din of a matana? A pruta. A few cents. A few cents for each person. So in this case, if you gave a dollar to one person, that's certainly Matanas Av Yonim. Right? All you have to do is, again, that would be, going back to your original question, which is what would be two? So whatever it is, times two. Or again, if you want to say it has to be in units, so maybe you'll say give two nickels. But again, no one fleshes that out. That was my knowledge, but that's my speculation. But that's the famous ritva, that all it has to be is the minimum of a pruta. The Ma'aril has a tshuva where he reiterates this, it can be a minimum of two prutos. However, similar to what you were referring to, the Shari Tshuva quotes others who argue. Shari Tshuva quotes those who are machmir that require that you should give the value of the matana to be what you could get a small meal. You don't have to give the guy a fancy three-course purim suda. But a very basic, simple meal, that minimum, what, now how you'll determine what that amount is, I don't know.
One meal.
Oh, right. That's Rabbi Heinemann. So that blinds the Shiloh. What does Rabbi Heinemann mean when he checks that box? Okay? So I don't think we solved anything with that. That's the great mystery.
Pizza.
Yeah, milkshakes. What a flake.
One meal equivalent.
Okay.
Two slices.
I want you to know, the fact that you said this, you'll allow me to indulge one of my other favorite topics, which is that you're just, it's a nacharaya, you should be washing hamotzi on pizza. Because you're holding it to dinner and a meal. The pizza. Rav Moshe's tshuva is no longer relevant. One piece is still a meal. That's because we use pizza as a meal nowadays. Rafal, a raya. And now, when I'm going to be able to be a machmer for the whole city, because I know in Baltimore many people are minug to still do amonis. No. I don't mean that you couldn't eat a pie, Joey. What I mean to say is, the din in Shmiya Suda for Pasa Baba Kistan is, a food that people are covering a Suda on requires hamotzi. So my point is that pizza is not a snack food in Bisman Hazeh. We're much more casual than they used to be. Rav Moshe, yeah, but my point is that even Rav Moshe would agree now. I don't know about Rav Moshe. Nebuch, I'm still an American Yid. In America, there's no question we have meals Thursday night dinner, chule, you're one meal equivalent, so new raya for me. Pizza is a meal in America, and therefore even, again, just to reiterate, it's a good tangent, but it's a lachlamaisa tangent. What Rav Moshe says, if you have two pieces of pizza, you have to make hamotzi. Where's two pieces? You look at all the Maseches Brachos and Habas Baba Kissin, and there's no halacha called two. What Rav Moshe was saying was that if you have two, you're being kaveya suda. So my point is, because Rav Moshe held it, because it's not really a meal. So the point is, though, but now that we use pizza as a meal, that it's not beginner snack food. Just like even pretzels or other types of cookies are beginner snack food, but if you eat enough of them, it could become hamotzi. So too, that's what Rav Moshe thought about pizza. But that's only because it was a snack food. But now if you hold that it is a meal that we are kavei suda on, which I think is a metzius, except for the most fancy of bandit people, maybe if you eat pizza with a fork and a knife, then maybe it's also a raya, you're too fancy to make that as a meal. But for the rest of us, who are, you know, need 8 napkins as we go through the pizza and fries, so Rafal's raya is, again, another nuanced point in my, not mine, I mean, like you said, the other many great posts we've already argued this before me.
Provide for both of a yayin, though, in this case.
You want us to get back on topic? Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, good. So the Shari Tshuva holds that you need to give, if you quote those are a machmer, that you give the value of a matana of a small meal. But the Shari Tshuva himself rejects it. There's a machmer opinion out there, but he's not necessarily into it. The Kaf HaChaim also quotes the Shita, and he doesn't paskin like it, but he suggests trying to be machmer for it. So now, again, I don't know anybody who's just giving a few cents. We're all giving enough, Emir Tzashem, that certainly required, probably fulfills even the most machmer shitas. But let's focus not on the practical, but on the lumnus. What's this issue about? If it's a din in tzedakah, l'chora, the ritzvah, and the mikra din seems to be correct, because we don't have a minimum shear for tzedakah. If you hold it's a din in my simcha, the part of my suda, as I'm also being mesameach levaniyim, then already it makes sense to say, if it's an expression of my simcha, it's not just enough for me to have my own suda, I have to help make sure other people have a suda. So perhaps the amount I have to give is that I should be able to have a suda. Perhaps.
Looks like beer, my suda.
Oh, that's left field, yeah.
I'm missing, I know what you're supposed to get. But it says that there is a minimum shear on the Nesina. Because of that concept of Masada.
There's a lot of
love. Maybe that if it's Matana, that Matana connotes more than just Soka, which is just to give something.
Okay. That's this alternative approach. What I'm saying is that if you hold up the Tzedakah approach, so then I think the Ritzvah and those who Paskin like him make a lot of sense. Okay, another issue which comes like this, and that is the following. And this is, I think you asked me before. An Ani. You the only one asked? No, I'm sorry, somebody else asked. Joel asked. Okay. Huh? He wasn't worried about his wife being poor, he was worried about his son being poor. Okay, so here we go. So, the Taz quotes from his father-in-law. Who's the Taz's father-in-law? The Taz is the Bach's son-in-law. So usually he argues on him. That's like the ultimate son-in-law's revenge. But here he actually quotes and seems to agree with his father-in-law. He quotes the Bach, who says that an Ani is chayev in Matzvah Nasev Yonim. And he compares it even to Dalet Kosos. Just like by Dalet Kosos, we say no matter how poor you are, it's not an excuse. You have to even sell the shirt off your back. That's a famous Rambam. And by Hanukkah, we say the same thing, a famous Rambam. So the Bach and the Hatzal seems to approve, holds that an Ani even has to give Matanos Avyonim. The Chayodom quotes this and passes this way, and this is what the Mishnah Berurah paskins. The Mishnah Berurah paskins that an Ani should still make sure to give Matanos Avyonim. However, the Pri Chadash argues. The Pri Chadash holds that an Ani is poor. Why, says the Ani, it should be no different than any other tzedakah, because if you look in Shulchan Aruch Yeredeya, a poor person is not exempt. We don't make 612 mitzvahs for him. Even he has 613 mitzvahs of tzedakah, but how much tzedakah should he give? So again, I'm not giving a whole tzedakah here. If you look in Yeredeya, it seems to imply that he has to make sure to give some tzedakah once a year. He has to do something to say each year he was Yotzei Tzedakah. But the halachos that apply to everyone else when it comes to tzedakah, somebody who's already in the category of being an ani, does not. Again, part of the reason is because he's giving away money that people gave to him. There's no reason he doesn't have to be a launderer for that money. If they're giving it to him, it's so that he can use because he needs it. To give to other people would give. So he has to be Yotzei a little bit. But, says the Pri Chadash, we're not going to all of a sudden make him give of Matanos Avyonim.
Do those who argue hold that it's, I mean, they compare it to Hanukkah?
No, they're not comparing it. Let me take it back. If you'll take a look at the Taz, you'll tell me what you think in terms of the logic in yourself. But I don't think they mean, although even this is kind of the way I scribbled it down in my notes, because it's my first impression, that somehow Matanos Avyonim is a din in Pirsum Hanes. Because the common denominator between Hanukkah and Dalet Kosos is Pirsum Hanes. Maybe that's what they mean. I don't know. The alternative, though, is what I want to suggest now, which is that it's based on our Lomdus. And I saw this in a very beautiful sefer called Shalmei Toda. It's a contemporary sefer. I would tell you the name of the author, except for it's anonymous. It's Vilam Shev. He didn't write his name, if I remember. I looked when I first bought the sefer. I looked. He didn't have it. He has two volumes at least. I have one on Hanukkah, one on Purim. Very nice firm. A contemporary Eretz Yisrael Talmud Chacham. He suggests that again, it's really Meduyag, at least in the Pri Chadash, that this is Tali and Armaklokas. If you hold the Din in Tzedakah, so as the Pri Chadash says, why should he be chayiv in this? It's the same halachos that he has certain exemptions from other areas of Tzedakah. But if you hold, either it's the Pursum Anais thing, or he suggests, is what I thought, maybe again, it's a way of saying part of your Simcha. Again, the Ani is not pater from Sudas Purim. That's why we have to help him. But he's not pater from that. And if part of the kiyum of his Suda, of all of our Sudas, is that we have to help other people because it's not a Suda if you're not helping people, if you're not inviting people. So then, if that's part of the mitzvah Simchas Purim, that's a chiyum that he had, just like he has to have the Suda. So too, he has to give somebody a little bit. Now, on a very practical level, the poskim suggests that an Ani could just go give each other. So I'll give you a dollar, you give me a dollar, therefore we break even. It's certainly a little bit below Tom, because they're not. But if Nebuch, someone was that destitute, so then technically you would be Yotzei, or you just rely on the Pri Chadash as your father. But if even those who are Machmir do have that out for the people who are Nebuch, the most destitute.
Does the lady have to give Meiser?
You mean to a calling?
No, actually, to another lady.
To another, I don't think so.
So
that is real purple. I mean, Mavis, it's like, whoa. Why should you assume that they're even connected as questions?
It's good enough of you in the same gather as the
recipient. No. The issue of Ani is if you're too poor to be able to give. You're a Nebuch. I mean, again, I don't mean that pejoratively.
But you're the recipient, so why she has to give to give?
So you're asking. So that's like you're asking me a hichul yard there, Shaila. I'll give you the siman hichul tzedakah. Look up. We don't pater an ani entirely. He's not completely pater. He's much more severely limited in his obligation. He's not pater from tzedakah. Okay. Let's see two more quickly. Two more. We have 5 minutes. So the Magen Avraham quote and the Mishnah Berurah both quote from a Shlach Kadosh, and that is. That let's say you have the following. Let's say you are mafresh ma'os meiser, right? Some people have a meiser account. So that certainly has benefits, but also has certain drawbacks. Because if you are mafresh that money, it has a certain status. Now that's tzedakah money. It's meiser money. So the discussion that the Magen Avraham has is, can you use meiser money for Matanos Avyonim? Can you use meiser money for Matanos Avyonim? So the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah both quote the Shlach Kadosh. It says you cannot. You cannot. But if it's beyond the mitzvah, Sam, then if you're correct, no, you're right. Good, you're right. If it's beyond the mitzvah, so then they hold you can. But whatever that minimum is, which again is almost negligible, whatever that minimum is, if you assume it's only a bruta, it's very negligible, that you cannot use for miser. But anything above that, so then above that is bonus, and then that could count for miser. The Tshuvas Ma'aril quotes this as well. So now the question is, why should that be? So the Ksav Sofer has a tshuva where he says the following, and this is, set the listen carefully, because it could be surprising, but it's not if you think about it carefully. I think he's right. Says the Ksav Sofer, if you have a, here's the basic principle, you cannot use Meiser for things that you otherwise already have an independent chiyuv for. So it has to be Mamon Chol. If it's Tzedakah, it's already a din in Hekdesh. And if it's Hekdesh, then that you can't use for a Meiser. Meiser has to be money that is otherwise Chol. You're not allowed to use Meiser for a Chol. An obligation, Chiyuv, or a Chol. Okay, I'm not here to pass on that trial at all. I don't think that's a simple... I'm not sure I agree with that at all, but... I know other people have said that. I don't want to get into that. So the Shaila is, says Ksav Sofer, how do you understand Matan Savyonim? So he says, perhaps different than you were thinking, but I think if you think about it, it makes sense. He says, if it's a din in tzedakah, that's why you cannot use it for Meiser. Because you have a chiyuv tzedakah, which therefore is coming only after the Meiser has already been set. Once the Meiser has been set, that can only be used. In other words, this gets back a little bit to Louis' point. Again, you have to think, when you think of tzedakah, we often think of, I'm giving Meiser for tzedakah, that's why this is confusing. But let's think about it more carefully. There's no chiyah for me to give to any individual person. So if I choose to give to you, so then that counts for my Meiser. I gave tzedakah for my Meiser, but I didn't have a chiyah to give you. So I chose to use my Meiser to give you tzedakah. But if I have a chiyuv to give matanos avyonim, if that is a chiyuv tzedakah that I have to give, says the Ksav Sofer, that is why he suggests perhaps you cannot use maos meiser. Now the question I would have on that is, listen, mamon of shach, it's a chiyuv. The shaila is just a lomdus, whether it's a chiyuv in Simchas Purim or something. So I'm not 100% clear why this would be any different if you held that it was a different geder. But at least I'm sharing with you the possibility that you should know that there's a Ksav Sofer out there who does think that issue is connected. And just let's finish up, because it's a little bit late, so I'll just mention quickly. Note again, the Magen Avraham as well, in an earlier simon, also from the Shlach Karosh, and this is Ellie's point before, which was very right on, the Shachayon. But here's why I was holding off on you, because my whole life, every time I read this Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch, I missed the following. And I think you did also, because what did you say? You said the Shulchan Aruch suggests that when you make Shachayon on the Megillah, you should have in mind the other three mitzvos. That's a quote of Ellie Lassen. But I would have said the same thing. I'm in your boat. But it's not true. It's not true. If you take a look at the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, the Lashon is, I had to read this twice because I couldn't believe I missed this all those years. He doesn't say all three. He says just two. Have in mind Mishloach Manos and Sudas Purim. It does not mention Matan Savyonim. However, if you look in the Prima Gadim and the Chayadim and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, they add Matan Savyonim. Shaila. So why didn't the Magen Avraham include it? So this same Sefer Shalmei Torah says, I think, very beautifully, because the Magen Avraham is L'shitoso, as we just said from the Ksav Sofer, that Matanos Avyonim is the Purim version of a year-round mitzvah called Tzedakah. So there's no reason to make Shachayonu on it. As opposed to if you see Matanos Avyonim as a unique mitzvah of Simchas Purim, so then like all the other mitzvahs of the Chag, so you should have a Shachayonu on it. I thought that's a very, very beautiful thing. And very quickly to conclude, what do you have to give? This was also asked before. You got the Alan's point before. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Gadim that it's best to give money or food because it should be something that they can benefit from on Purim. However, it's mashma that that's only l'chachila. The b'dyevet, if I gave the guy a shirt or a book or who knows what, true. Okay, fair enough. Okay, but that sounds like that would be the b'dyevet. The Turi Evan in the same piece also says this. He says that the ikar is money. Sounds like a bar mitzvah boy. The ikar is money, but you could be yotzei with anything, says the Tori Evan. However, if you look in the Rambam and Perek Beis of Megillah, Halacha Tazayin, Rambam specifically quotes food and money. Now, I could have read this and perhaps not reached necessarily the same conclusion. You'll take a look for yourself and tell me how you think this is. But there is an Or Sameach. The Or Sameach on that Rambam says that the Rambam holds its l'ikuvah. It must be food, or it must be money, and you're not yotzei with anything else. Now, this is very similar to a very, very famous, this is perhaps one of the most famous Mashloach Mono Shaila. The Truma Sadeshin started this Shaila. He asked it, many then followed the Truma Sadeshin, can you be Yosef? The Truma Sadeshin Shaila was, could you be Yosef Mashloach Mono Shaila giving someone clothing? Or as others subsequently asked after that, including the Ramah and others, can you be Yosef Mashloach Mono Shaila giving a Sefer? Now they say that the Ramah has a not well-known sefer, which he wrote as a Mechir Yain, it's a perish on the Megillah. They say that the year he wrote it, he gave it as Mashloach Monos. So that's how we know how he felt about that Shiloh. But others disagree. That's a Shiloh about Mashloach Monos. So there's a similar Shiloh would appear, a Machlokas Rambam and others, about Matanas Avyonim. Does it have to be food or money, which is fungible, can easily be used to turn into food, for the Suda, for example, or can it be anything else? So the Shalmei Toda, again, it's a little bit similar to our alumnus with the Pruta, the Shalmei Toda says, again, if you'll hold, it's a din in tzedakah, so why does it have to be dafka food? Tzedakah can be anything. But if you hold somehow that it's dafka, an expression of the simcha that we're having by our suda, we have to make sure that other people have simcha too, so then either ideally it could be food or money, which they can then use to get food, again, focusing on the suda and the simcha of the day. But if you see it as general tzedakah, so then l'chora, there's no reason to hold like that chumra of the Rambam. Good night and a prayer looking for a room.
Yeah.
Don't forget to-